Hi everyone, apologies for all that. I think it seems that halfway to the very end of my initial remarks, it looks as if it wasn't being recorded and you didn't hear it. So I'm going to start at the start again, if that's okay for everybody. Sorry, Sarah, was any of it recorded? Can you go to the whole start? Back to start again? Yeah, no bother at all. So, and even the introductory, yeah. Yeah, the whole thing. Okay, no bother at all. So just to welcome everyone to the meeting this evening, and hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. I think the poor councillors in the chamber here have heard this all before, but we'll keep on going. We do remain in unprecedented times. Can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are switched off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have any such interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the nature of business it relates to. Having declared an item, an interest site members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except for councillors considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, you use the instant messaging facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging, and if two councillors propose at the same time, the person proposed first will be taken as the proposer, and the person proposed second will be taken recorded as the seconder. So, Sarah, can you advise of any apologies received by Democratic Services, please?
Yeah, apology from councillors Doran and Enright.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. And have we any further apologies from the floor? Okay, thank you. Okay, so if we can get into the Chairman's remarks. The first item that I wanted to mention was obviously the sending our best wishes to our colleague Sean Doran, from myself as Chair, but also from the whole Council. We all know that Sean has been on well, but is improving, and our thoughts all remain with Sean and his family at this time. If we then move on to the Camogie wins at the weekend, we had an amazing win from the Down Camogie team on winning the All-Ireland Intermediate Championship, and to the Armagh Camogie team for winning the All-Ireland Junior Championships at the weekend. I think that very few of us would know the exact time, effort, commitment and skill it takes to get to this level, but this council is extremely proud of your achievements. I would like to go on and pay tribute to our Restrever native, Susanna Nidoyne, who is the Senior Composite Design Engineer for the BWT Racing Point Formula One team, and they had a fantastic result in the Grand Prix at the weekend with a first and third place. The team has actually been renamed the Aston Martin Formula One for the 2021 season, so Susanna would be the most prominent Irish person involved with Formula One at this time. So I think, you know, it's brilliant to see those within our district becoming so successful on the world stage. So well done, Susanna and her family. The next item I want to talk about, which I've done at every meeting since the beginning, is obviously, you know, COVID-19 and the fact that it does remain very much among us. This Friday we will see restrictions ease. I'm asking everyone to shop local, support local, but ultimately to stay safe. We know that there will be further relaxations around Christmas in terms of regulations, and we're asking people to enjoy Christmas safely, but whilst adhering to the public health messaging. We have the very positive news of vaccine, but it's going to be some months before it becomes widespread. So for the sake of a few extra months, please do exercise that extra caution that is very much needed. And the last point that I wanted to make relates to contributions at full council whenever we're dealing with the committee minutes. I'm seeking members' cooperation in terms of tonight and beyond tonight. The actual committees are the location to raise matters. That is the location to raise issues and to contribute. We're beginning to see committees being rehashed again at full council by the same members. So if you please, members, could try and work with me and contribute at that committee level and not again at full council, that would be appreciated. So hopefully the recording... Well, it's that time, Sarah, and we'll maybe now move on to the action sheet from full council on the 2nd of November. Sorry, Councillor Andrews, did you want in?
I do want thanks, Chair. In relation to page one on the action sheet, I would ask, is there any update? Sorry.
Yeah, okay, I'll come back to you, Chair, shortly. Sorry, Councillor Tinley, did you want in there?
Yes, very briefly, Chair. I just want to concur with your three items of congratulations. And could you confirm if you will be actually sending a letter of congratulations to both teams on Susanna?
Absolutely, Jonathan. I don't want to open up the floor for contributions under the chairman's remarks, but absolutely, that's the intention. Yep, no problem.
All right, thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, if we can move on now, folks, to the action sheet. So we're going to go through page by page for accuracy, first of all. So if we go for page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, and page 7, I'm looking for a proposer and a seconder in terms of accuracy. A proposer from Councillor Savage, thank you, Michael, and a seconder from Councillor O'Mara, thank you. And then in terms of matters arise, I think Councillor Andrews, you were in first there. Yep, go on ahead, Terry.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In relation to page 1 on the action sheet, I just wonder, has there been any updates from the departments and the social care trusts in relation to the provisions of treatments for cancer and other ailments? I know at our special meeting in October 2020, you know, there had been a lot of concerns and worries raised elsewhere in relation to the pandemic. While it is too a major worry that a lot of resources and staff, etc., are under so much pressure, themselves have been diverted to tackle the pandemic head on. I'm just wondering, has the council received any correspondence or updates from the departments and trusts in relation to additional resources being directed towards cancer and, you know, other ailments? Thanks, Chair.
Chair, we haven't received anything to date, but we will circulate to members when we receive it.
Okay. Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Terry. Has anybody else any further matters arising under the action sheet, or are we content to move on? Okay. If we move then to the minutes of the council meeting held on the 2nd of November, if we can go through page by page initially for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. So in terms of proposer and second, I think we've got Councillor Stokes in there proposed and Councillor Burgess to second. Thank you. Have we any matters arising from the full council meeting? Okay, if we're content then to move on to the Minister's Special Council meeting held the 26th of October. In terms of accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, 7 and 8. Thank you, Councillor Casey, for proposing. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Sharvin. Have you any matters arising? Okay, thank you, members. We'll move on then to the minutes of ERT on the 9th of November. So again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, and page 8. We have Councillor Burgess proposing, thank you, Robert, and Councillor Stokes seconding. And in terms of matters arising, Gary, did you want to go on ahead with the question?
Yeah, can you hear me okay, Chair?
Can indeed, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Laura. Just, I've been doing a bit more research, Chair, on the proposed invite to the President-elect. I only got the information that day, I went to ERT, so just since that, I mean, it was... The President-elect gave the speech in June 2016 that he, his great-great-grandfather, Owen Finnegan, from Cooley, emigrated from Uriport in May 1849. I've since been doing a bit of looking and I've been contacted again today by a local historian. It may be, in fact, that he did indeed leave Warren Point, but we're still doing, the jury's still out, so we're still doing a bit of work on that, sir. But just to give you just an update on where we are with that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. And we've got a motion on down the agenda. Thank you for that. Okay. Any other matters arise in terms of ERT? Okay, members, we're going to move on then to the Minister's Strategy Policy Resource Committee back on the 12th of November. And in terms of accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. I'm going to propose it there from Councillor Savage. Michael, I see you've got a question. I'll come back to you. Barry, you're going to second that. Thank you. Okay, in terms of matters arising then, Michael, do you want to go on ahead there?
Yes, Chair. I'm not going to regurgitate the whole meeting, but I think it's very important tonight for the public record that we acknowledge the fact that tonight marks the third anniversary. I'm looking, referring to page 7 of the minutes. And tonight marks the third anniversary of the Council's commitment to deliver the 15-acre park on the Albert Basin site in Newry. But based on what we're passing tonight also marks a momentous decision by the Council to move the project from the proposal stage to the delivery stage. The Albert Basin Task and Finish Group, which included Newry 2020 and other great local organisations within our community, carried out work with local councillors and officials. Sometimes it was very arduous and very frustrating and slow work, but that has progressed this proposal to the stage where tonight the Albert Basin 15-acre park will be formalised into a strategic project of the Council, with the agreed governance structures to oversee its delivery as one of the key strategic projects within the Newry City Regeneration Scheme. Tonight we move from the talking stage finally to the action stage. Chair, the Albert Basin Project Board, following tonight's approval of the SPNR minutes of November the 12th, will now be set up and will meet in January to appoint the design team, sign off on the business case for the appointed appointed economists, and agree the budget for the delivery of phase one of the park within this council term, as was agreed following an SDLP proposal to carry out the capping, greening and securing of the site, as well as the development of a state-of-the-art regional play park. That budget will be included in the 2021 rates process in order to ensure the delivery of phase one within this council term, as per what is now a corporate decision of this council. Since the findings of the excellent and extensive public consultation on the park were adopted by this council, over the last 3 months the SDLP has moved this project at every stage through this council to ensure that the proposal became a strategic project. And Chair, I'd like to pay tribute to the tenacity of my colleague and friend, Councillor Gary Stokes, who has championed this project from when it was first mooted many years ago. Chair, we now need to allow the project board and design team to get on with the job and deliver phase one in this council term. And it's my pleasure, Chair, to propose the minutes tonight of the SPNR.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor Andrews, you are next there.
Thanks very much, Chair. And I know at the previous meeting I raised the issue about the national testing, the partnership with the public health agency, using the Albert Basin for testing for COVID. And again, I would like to ask, is there a possibility of the Council again approaching the public health agency to ensure that the likes of this testing can be extended to Downpatrick, Newcastle and Kilkeel for residents who are unable to get away to Newry? And also in recent since our last meeting, the news of the rollout of the vaccine has been made public and it's been very welcomed. I'd like to ask the Council tonight, have they been approached or would they consider any request for the use of Council facilities like the leisure centres, etc., to enable the vaccination programme to be rolled out and to ensure the smooth running and accommodation of such a very important exercise that we're going to see accelerated over the next few months? And if this is the case of the Council being asked to provide facilities for vaccination, I'd be very much a supporter of this programme. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry. Would that be Murray?
Yeah, Chair. We are liaising at a Northern Ireland level in relation to the vaccination programme and are certainly ready to facilitate and help the trusts on both the South Eastern and Southern Trust if required from a vaccination perspective. We continue to work with the PHA on providing facilities for testing and indeed I think we'll be bringing updates back regarding the request for the Albert Basin from a testing perspective at next week's SPNR committee. So something that we do continue to work very closely with other government departments on.
Thanks very much, Maria. I do welcome the news and the information that you've given us. Again, if there's an opportunity of getting the programme for testing rolled out across the district, it would be very much welcomed. And also, it's good to hear that you're touching base with the relevant authorities to the rollout of the vaccine in the district. So, again, that's good news and it would be very much welcomed. And I'm a firm supporter of any effort being made in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Councillor Brown, you're next there.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I can see some councillors didn't listen to your advice at the start not to rehash the discussions of committees, but fortunately, Councillor Savage will have the chance to put on record his full support for the park at the end of tonight's meeting for the last item on the agenda. But my question was with regard to the consultation process for the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project. I note in this week's press there is discussion of a tender process for that, which went into a fair amount of detail on the shape that consultation will take. I just wanted to check from officers that consultation process will come to the SPNR committee next week, I believe, for full scrutiny before any tender goes out.
Councillor Brown, can I just ask, in terms of the SPNR minutes, what page is that on?
It would be relating to the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project Board, which I believe is mentioned on page 7.
What page, sorry, Patrick, just I'm flicking through here.
Well, to be fair, it's not mentioned specifically, Chair, but I would like clarity on it because it is a matter arising from the SPNR committee.
I can maybe ask Barry, is that information to have? Do you want to take it up with Country Byron maybe after the meeting?
Chair, Conor Mallon would probably be able to provide an update on that.
I'm happy to provide an update. The procurement exercise will close this week, and on receipt of the tenders, we will present a tender report to the project board at the next meeting, and then recommendations from the project board will be taken to SPNR for ratification.
Thank you, Conor. Councillor O'Murray, you're in next there.
Thanks, Chair. Just sort of on the same way of going as Paddy Brown's initial comments. Chair, you went through a whole rigmarole at the start of the meeting that you didn't want anybody going into fine detail on the SPNR, on any committees or that. And you've just opened the door and let Megan Savage go on a rant, calling out on what the SDLP have done for the park and that. Now, I could just let me finish, but I could just go and say the exact same with Sinn Féin. Paddy Brown could just go and do the same with the Alliance. Everybody could do that, but you specifically asked us before the meeting started not to do that, and he did that, and you didn't pull him up on it.
With all respect, I'm chair of the meeting. Obviously, what I've asked at the start of the meeting was people not to rehash committees. Obviously, Michael made a proposal there, and again, it probably took a bit longer than I would want it. I would ask members to work with me this evening, then going forward, we're going to try our best to keep the council meeting not a rehash of the committees itself. He was speaking to the proposal, but I'm content to take your points. Okay. Councillor Mulgrew, are you next there?
Yes, Chair. I just want to come back in, and it's pretty much in the same as the previous speakers. You know, it's very, very disappointing that when we have this item for discussion, that someone is allowed to come in and effectively hold a party political broadcast on an item. You know, if you want to have us respect you as a chair, which we have all tried to do and we want to do because that is how good business is conducted, you know, it has to be in the same rules for everybody. Because certainly, you know, myself and Pete Burns co-chair the project board, and I can assure you and everyone else that Sinn Féin supports the park coming under the umbrella of that project board. And that it in fact puts it on the same par as the Civic Centre, the theatre complex, the public realm, the additional office space. And these are very, very exciting times. I can also assure everybody that, you know, I, as the chair of that project board, has made sure that the money is there to move that project on to the next stage, which is the design team. And when the design team comes up with a design based purely on the community consultation, that we will go back and engage with all stakeholders. And like your colleague, everybody, you know, recognises the input of the entire community and 2020 in the delivery, you know, and getting this park to this stage within council. We as councillors and elected reps now need to deliver this. But as I say, this is not a conversation for tonight. Unfortunately, you opened the door and now everybody is entitled to gallop through it.
Thank you, Councillor McGrew. I suppose the point that I was making at the start was people can speak to proposals, but not to rehash the actual committee itself. Michael made the proposal, is my point. But listen, your comments have been noted. We're going to move on now. In terms of the next item, is the Active Healthy Community Committee. So if we're going to go through page by page for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. The proposals are from Councillor O'Mara and seconded by Councillor Traynor. Do we have any matters arising? Okay, folks, we'll move on then to the Minutes of Neighbourhood Services Committee on the 17th of November. Again, for accuracy, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, 8, 9 and 10. A proposal there from Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Owens. Thank you. Any matters arising? Okay, if we move on then to the Minutes of the Special Audit Committee on the 24th of November. And again, for accuracy, page 1, 2 and 3. Do we have a proposer and a seconder? Proposed by Councillor, I think Councillor Hanlon, you're on the committee, if I'm right in saying, and then Councillor seconded by Councillor Sharvin, if that's okay. Any matters arising from audit? Okay, folks, if we move on to the next one then. This is a special FPNR meeting on the 1st of December. I understand that we have a proposed date for, I'm just taking a proposer and a seconder to defer this item. We have a date for Council to host a special FPNR meeting in advance of Christmas. So I would suggest that we propose to second these minutes, defer these minutes onto the special meeting to discuss then. A proposer there for Councillor O'Mara, thank you, and seconded by Pete Byrne. Okay, so that will be deferred then to the special FPNR meeting, and whenever we get the date of that meeting, we'll get that circulated round as soon as possible. Thank you. Okay, if we move on then to...
Sorry, Chair, just is it a special FPNR meeting, or is it a special council meeting as what's in the diary, sorry?
Oh, there was me thinking, Gareth Sharman, that you were going to chair that. Apparently, I've been told, no, I know it's actually me, so it's a special council meeting. I stand corrected. Thank you for that clarity. Apologies, folks. Okay, so if we move on then to the next item, which is the draft minutes of the Planning Committee meeting from the 18th of November. It's just the one page for accuracy. Could we have a proposer and a seconder for that, please? Proposed by Councillor O'Hara. Thank you, Gerry. And a seconder, maybe? Councillor McAteer, thank you. And with any matters arising from that? Okay, so for content to move on then, we have...
Sure.
Oh, Councillor Murphy, your name is not coming up for some reason. I wonder, you just signed in as a guest, maybe? It's on there. Sorry, Councillor Murphy, go on ahead there. You have a question.
No, that's Declan McAteer.
Wrong deck, yeah. Sorry, Chair. I just wanted to admit it wasn't. It's not an elaboration on a point. I just think it's worth noting for the record, for the public record. really, it's just a small element of detail about what was decided that day. The earlier plan, the new proposed date was completion in the second quarter of 26-27. We raised concerns about that. Officers did come back and say, look, that hopefully will be the worst case scenario. I know there's pressure coming on out there in the public from terms of housing and industrial development, etc. So we hopefully that won't actually be the case. It was addressed at the meeting. We hope to go back to the Department of Infrastructure and ensure, encourage them that they will stick to their timetables in a strict fashion as well, that we will deliver the area plan ahead of 26-27. That would be some 16 years. 11 years delivering it, which is quite a considerable amount of time. So I just want to put that on the public record for those out there who are very interested in this type of thing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor McAteer. Okay, if we're content then to move on to the next couple of items, which are for Noton. There's from the Northern Ireland Housing Council and for the bulletin and the actual minutes themselves. Okay. And then we actually have a number of items of correspondence, and we just take them separately as we move on there. The first one was from the Department for Communities regarding the Regeneration Bill. If anybody has any queries, they can put them on the instant message that I can bring you in. The next one was a reply from Peter Weir regarding the transfer test. And then number 16 was from the Financial Conduct Authority regarding the insurance issue. Number 17 is Derry City and Strabane regarding motions passed. Yep. Councillor Moore, are you looking in that one issue with the air quality issues?
No, was it with the transfer test one?
Yep, sorry, go on ahead. I went too quick there, Barra. Go on ahead.
Yeah, no, it's all right. I couldn't get my cue in time. No, it was just, look, it was just, I suppose, to mention the response from Peter Weir. And I, as was pointed out on the night, you know, it was, I didn't want it coming across, and I said this at the time to David Taylor, and David didn't want it turning into unionists are in support of transfer tests and Sinn Féin's against transfer tests. I didn't want to go into that at all. And just wanted to point out the Northern Ireland Mental Health champion, Siobhan O'Neill, Professor Siobhan O'Neill, has said she's appalled, absolutely appalled and shameful about the decision to proceed with the transfer test. So maybe that'll put into context maybe where we're at with that discussion. But yeah, I welcome the report from Peter Weir, which puts it back on the boards of governors. Or Margaret.
Thank you, Barra. Councillor McMurray, you're in next there.
Thank you, Chair. It was in relation to item 19. Are you happy that I comment on 19? I'm not sure we're at that one yet. It was, I can wait.
I'll just check, Andy, because I'm thinking maybe Councillor McGuinness then after you. I wonder if that are in relation to the vehicle insurance. So what items do you want in there? And was it the one before that?
Yeah, Chair, it's based on the vehicle insurance.
Yep, do you want to go on ahead first? I'll bring in Andy afterwards.
Yeah, thank you. It's just more of a comment. Just reading the response there from the financial regulator, we wouldn't really be happy with that response. It's very watery. It's not telling us nothing really that other than they're trying to justify these increases in premiums in insurance in the postcodes of BT34 and BT35. So we may possibly look into some legal advice on how the FRA are trying to justify these high premiums based on postcodes without any concrete evidence of the risk involved. So just wanted to make that comment.
No problem, Councillor Finlay. Thank you. Councillor McMurray, sign that number, item number 19 to the Ardnavan and go on ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. No, it wasn't so much a question as a comment. I say the letter there is addressed to me, but I just wanted to sort of pay credit sort of to all the DA councillors and a few other DA councillors, you know, that sort of signed a joint letter in that regard, you know, just sort of highlighting how sort of disappointed we were. Now, I know that there may still be scope for manoeuvre by you know the interested parties, and you know, obviously we hope that would come through. But yes, it was just more to pay credit to other councillors as well for, you know, acknowledging that we prefer that to be handed back over to the community in some shape or form. As you know, I'm quite attached to it. But thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Andy. A bit like myself, sir, living so close to Castlewell, and we all know the value of what's there and the potential for that as well. Councillor Hyle, you're in next on the same issue there.
Yeah, probably just to concur with what Andy has said there, and just put on record our party's disappointment at the decision by the Education Authority. I don't need to go over or rehash again the work that MyMy do in this area, not just the area, the whole of the district. They do absolutely fantastic work. So it is really, really disappointing that they weren't even given the opportunity to get the funds raised, or the business case didn't even get a chance, you know what I mean, sort of to be looked at. So, you know, I know as a party ourselves, we have facilitated a meeting with both the Finance Minister, Conor Murphy, and tomorrow actually we're meeting with MyMy and the Community Minister Carol Nicholan as well. So, you know, look, to see if there's anything that we can do as a party. But look, just want to say that it is a fantastic facility. MyMy do great work. And, you know what I mean, it's a totally unreasonable decision by the Education Minister. And we really, you know, it needs to be looked at again.
Thank you. Roisin, Councillor Gallagher.
Thanks, Chair. It really is kind of to concur with what everybody else is saying as well. Much to the disappointment of the letter that was received back. It is a vital part of this community, and it would be, if it was to be utilised, it would be an excellent package in all for the whole local community, actually just the local community and the wider community. There's so much of a scope there. And I, as I say again, I commend all the my local councillors as well. We all 100% support this, and I hope to move it forward. I think there's anything that we can do, we need to do it in that way. But thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Hugh. Okay, if we can move on, there's a few other items of correspondence beneath that. Then we had one from the Minister of Health regarding A&Es. And then there was a further letter from Anna and Omagh District Council. Okay, so they're all just for noting, folks. Oh, Councillor, yep, Councillor Traynor, going ahead there.
Thanks very much, Chair. I suppose it's just a very quick comment in relation to the correspondence from the Health Minister. And I wouldn't want to blame the Health Minister for COVID, but COVID is not the primary issue as to why our emergency services are the way they are. It has been an historic lack of resources, funding, and in ensuring that we have appropriately trained staff. As we all know, there's over 2,000 nurses that are short from the system across the north. There's a shortage of middle-grade doctors. So it's not just a COVID issue. This is an issue for outside of COVID as well. And it would be good if the Minister would recognise that in any future correspondence.
Thank you, Councillor Traynor. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Item 21, I know it's down for noting, but from Mananoma Council, they've sent us correspondence asking us to look at supporting the motion on the COVID pandemic impact on further and higher education. So just checking through the Chair with the process of us to support this motion, because I think it is a very, very important motion that we should be supporting as a council. So just that it's down for noting, but I would like to be sending a response back to this council on behalf of Neary Morning Down.
Okay, Pete, do you want to make a proposal in that regard?
Yeah, I'd propose that we write back to from Mananoma District Council thanking them for their correspondence, and I propose that we do support the motion as outlined in that document.
Okay, do we have a seconder for that? Yeah, Councillor.
Yeah. I'll second that, and also if our support could be indicated to the other 10 councils as well, if that's possible. But I second the proposal of Councillor Byrne.
Thank you, Terry. Do we have agreement for that proposal? Support? Yeah, okay. Thank you for that, Councillor Byrne. That's great. If we can now move on to the notices of motion, of which we have a number in front of us this evening. The first motion is from Councillor Lewis. So, Alan, understanding Order 16.1.6, as the motion falls in the remit of the Neighbourhood Services Committee, can I ask you to read the motion out and advise me who is seconding it, and that will be referred then to Neighbourhood Services.
That's fine, thank you. It's Councillor David Taylor is going to second this motion for me, and I'm just going to read it, that we note that Neary Morning Down Council aims to embed the ethos of sustainability throughout its operations. Sustainability development is about getting the needs of the people today and providing them with a good quality of life without compromising the quality of life of future generations. With that in mind, this council commits to producing a report on how we could make funding available, which could be utilised by the community groups for the benefit of creating community gardens, encouraging the planting of apple, peach, pear trees, along with other edible fruit and veg plants, make use of vacant land, and within our ownership, that we also commit to helping community groups engage with other public agencies to identify land which could be used. Okay.
Thanks very much, Alan. Did you say who was second in the motion?
Chair, David Taylor here.
Thank you. I made a mistake there. It's actually been referred to Active Healthy Communities. I said Neighbourhood Services, but it's Active Healthy that will be going to. Alan, thank you very much. Yeah.
That's grand. Thank you.
Thank you, David, as well. So the second motion in front of us comes from Councillor Kern, Sharvin and Traynor. So again, similar to the previous one, understanding Order 16.1 Part 6, as this motion falls in the remit of the Active Healthy Communities Committee, the Directorate, can I ask one of you to read the motion out and advise me who is seconded it, and it will be referred then to AHC.
Yeah, Chair, it's Councillor Sharvin I'll be proposing. This council recognises the importance of Dunleith Park to Downpatrick and the district through sports, recreation, tourism and regeneration. With this importance and opportunity to develop Dunleith, this council will establish a working group of Downpatrick DEA councillors and council officers to establish a development plan for Dunleith that will include walking and cycling lanes, improvement to the Mugga and sports pitches, and gardens, including sensory gardens. And Councillor Kern be second in chair.
Thanks very much, Gareth. Thank you, Dermot. That will go to AHC. Okay, so we can move on then to the next item on the agenda, which is a notice of motion from Councillor Traynor in respect of free parking for health and social care staff. And this motion has actually now been referred to our Health Committee under Standing Order 16.1, Part 6. John, can I ask you to read out the motion and advise me who has seconded it, please, if we refer it on?
Perfect. Thank you very much, Chair. The motion will be seconded by Councillor Gary Stokes, and I'm happy to take the motion as it is, unless you need me to read it out, Chair.
I do need you to read it, John, yeah.
So this council notes and welcomes the decision by the Minister for Health to instruct the Health and Social Care Trusts to provide free parking to health and social care staff until March 31st. Council further calls on the Minister to ensure that such provision of free parking is made available to health and social care staff on a permanent basis with no specific time restrictions placed by any trust.
Thank you for that, John. That will go to the Health Committee. So the next motion before us we have from Councillor Stokes and Brian in respect of the recent American presidential election. This motion will be heard tonight by full council. So I'm not sure who's speaking first, Gary or Patrick.
Patrick is speaking first, I think.
Yes, I think I'm down as the proposer there, Chair, if that's all right.
Yep, work away, Patrick.
No problem. Getting through this agenda rightly, Laura. Good job. So I'll save us some time and take the motion as read. So it already feels like a lifetime ago that the election actually took place and the results made clear. Unfortunately, the sitting president doesn't seem to have actually realised that yet, though. But after a marathon, 5 days of CNN coverage, baseless accusations of voter fraud and some very tight, tense races, Joe Biden has emerged as the president-elect and is due to become the 46th president of the USA on the 20th of January next year. In the process, he has received the highest popular vote of any president in history and a larger margin of victory than any Republican candidate has managed since H.W. Bush. He won 306 electoral college votes, a number which Trump described as a landslide when he won with the same amount in 2016. And in doing so, has fundamentally changed the electoral map in America, bringing states like Arizona and Georgia into play for the first time in decades. So as an American political nerd, you'll excuse me my indulgence in the facts and figures there. But it was a historic election which took place during the unprecedented context of a global health crisis. And we know President Biden will have his hands full at the start of this term dealing with the COVID pandemic and the subsequent economic recovery. But given his strong ancestral links to this area, there is every possibility he will visit Ireland at some point, as every president since Reagan has done, except notably Trump. But unlike many other presidents who claim distant ancestry to the island, Biden's links are actually very recent and local. His great-great-grandfather, Patrick Blewitt, left Mayo in 1850 to become a sailor in the USA and settled in Scranton, Pennsylvania, whilst more notably for our council. His great-grandfather, James Finnegan, arrived in Seneca, New York in the late 1840s, aged 7. James travelled from the port of Newry, which was technically Warren Point, but is listed on documents at the time as Port of Newry, and he grew up and lived in County Louth before that, which is why it's particularly important that we work in partnership with Louth County Council in issuing any invite as a result of this motion. Now, whilst President-elect Biden has visited the island as recently as 2016, which Councillor Stokes made reference to earlier and may want to elaborate on, there is every reason why Ireland and the UK would be top of President Biden's travel list when circumstances allow. Firstly, Joe Biden has an unwavering support for the peace process, given the instrumental role his party played in bringing it together. He has been vocal many times on his opposition to Brexit and the risks it poses for the Good Friday Agreement. And no doubt he will want to make a strong statement that his administration will support the EU Irish government and Remain voting Northern Ireland against hard-right Brexiteers. Second, he has a wealth of foreign policy knowledge and expertise from his long career and understands the importance of the Irish-American and Anglo-American relationships. He will want to put amends to much of the damage caused by the inward-looking isolationism of his predecessor and ensure the US is engaged and committed as a partner in international relations. So what better place for Biden to visit than our district to trace his ancestral roots in Louth, visit the port his family emigrated from, and see the resting place of St. Patrick in the county town of Downpatrick? I hope councillors motion tonight.
Thank you, Patrick. Gary, are you coming in there?
Yeah, just well, not be brief, Chair. I think it is important as well that this, we don't get into the US politics end of it. I mean, I think if you read any of Joe Biden's speeches, in particular the one I referenced earlier in 2016, the man clearly values his Irish heritage and the fact that his great grandfather immigrated from this area. And in that speech that I referenced, he talks about Cooley and he talks about Newryport. So I think we very much reach out, and again, it has to be done hand in hand with Louth County Council. I mean, there's a better chance of him coming if it's obviously going to visit Cooley, and he would visit then hopefully Newry and Warren Point, and then out to Downpatrick. And I do think, sure, just on finish, that we've taken a decision earlier on the agenda under SPNR and all of this council have got behind the old Albert Basin and the former site of Newryport. And the development of the park there wouldn't be fantastic, Chair, if by the time the president, he would be the president at that stage, visits Ireland and visits the area, that we had something to show on that site, that from Newryport we now have a 15-acre park for all of our citizens, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Hannah.
Thanks, Chair. I'm speaking on behalf of the DUP group in Salmon this year. Just a few points to start with. I find it a little bit disappointing, so I do, that we're welcoming any political victory in the sense that we have never did this in the past, as far as I know, and not in my time, and that we welcomed the current Irish government, the current British government, or anything like that there at the moment. I find it's a little bit disappointing that we are going down this road in particular. On President Biden-elect and this suggested invitation to visit Newry Morning Down, Councillor, what I would say is this: why do we want him to come here after what he has said and done? He has himself made himself divisive with his ill-advised remarks about orange and green, which were insulting to British stroke unionist people in Northern Ireland. The remarks were just, I believe, disgraceful, so they were. For a man 50 years in politics, he is either badly briefed are just totally ignorant of the situation in Northern Ireland and Ireland with his remarks. Another big problem he has made now, say, has in that, along with the UK, the Republic of Ireland, the EU, the USA is a supposed guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement. How could a president-elect Biden be seen as anything other than a biased Irish stroke Republican lending person? You know, he's lending that support there to that ethos. Is how could we ever be seen by the likes of myself and from a unionist perspective, so as see him as impartial in any way? We will not be supporting the motion. And I would also call on President-elect Biden to apologise to those people he has offended by his remarks in Northern Ireland of my tradition. And I think you should stop looking through the Irish-American tinted glasses and see reality. There will not be a united Ireland without the consent of the people of Northern Ireland, so I would suggest he's reminded of that. So, unfortunately, at this moment in time, we will not be supporting this motion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Glyn. Councillor Taylor?
Yep, thank you, Chair. We won't be supporting the motion either tonight, and if it comes to a vote, we would abstain in that vote. And I would outline our position in that regard. unfortunately, the motion itself is very political. I think Guy had mentioned earlier on about, you know, we didn't want to get into the US political system. We don't want to go into the US politics. Unfortunately, this motion does that. It welcomes a particular victory for a candidate. Again, as Glenn said, we've never ever welcomed any political victory of any particular candidate anywhere in the democratic world. So I don't see why we need to do that now, particularly when it isn't a uniform view of everybody that they would have welcomed a Biden win that took place in November time. Now, what I would say is President Biden-elect and Vice President-elect Harris are more than welcome in Northern Ireland any time. The leader of the free world should be more than welcome to come here, particularly if it's a benefit to Northern Ireland from an investment point of view or whatever it may be. But I think that the motion itself has many weaknesses in it. It is overtly political, unfortunately, and because of that, that's where the severe weakness is for us in that regard. I certainly wish him well. I want to see any president succeed, because I think it benefits the wider world if US democracy is performing well. But certainly, we also see the mention about Brexit trade talks, and the fact that, the US would take almost like a pro-Irish point of view on that. I have to say that in itself is a naive point of view to take, because whatever happens, irrespective of what happens going forward, the US will put the US's prospects first, irrespective of what happens. They will, if they feel it is better for to align themselves with the UK government in regards to the Brexit talks, and they feel that that benefits America's interests going forward, that's where they will lead their line on that. So, it's just unfortunate that the motion itself had to be so political. I think that's to say where the major weakness is on it, because say any president that is welcome in Northern Ireland at any stage of the United States, that goes without saying. And I do acknowledge the ancestral links that there is to the area. They have to be acknowledged. But it's just a pity to say that it is so political, because it's unfortunate, that we had to go down that route. And I understand Paddy's a very passionate supporter of Biden, and I know Gary obviously would appear to be as well. And that's their entitlement to do that. But it's not the uniform view of everybody within the chamber. And by actually taking this position of the detail of the motion that there is there, that's what it would be, a corporate view almost of, taking a viewpoint on what happened in a democratic election. That's not something that's ever happened in our council before. And I don't think it's actually a healthy way to proceed either. So as I say, we're not supporting the motion that stands. We will abstain if it comes to that. As I don't want anybody to think that we certainly don't welcome any US president to Northern Ireland, because that's not the case. They are the leader of the free world, and that should be acknowledged. But as I say, the motion itself is just too political for our liking, and it's a weakness. And I feel that those that brought it forward should have reflected on that, before they submitted it. But listen, that's our position outlined. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Councillor Murphy.
Yeah, I'd just like to say from the outset that I do welcome this motion. I do support the motion. I think it's unfortunate. While I understand where our unions colleagues are coming from, I don't necessarily agree with it. I do think I'm not supporting it for sentimental or emotional reasons. This is primarily an opportunity for us as an island of Ireland. This gives us very much access to the White House. It should give us more leverage, as it has done in the past, when we're coming to dealing with some of the issues that we find very difficult to sort out ourselves, such as legacy issues. It also should be a helping hand, I presume, when we're talking about the future of Ireland. I also welcome the fact that, and hopefully this is, and there's no doubt this will be the case, that the strategy of provocation and confrontation has left the stage with Trump. So I think it's a very, very positive thing for Ireland. I prefer if people would be more upfront about this. This isn't about sentiment. This is about political leverage. And I think, as David has said, there is great opportunities here for investment. And, particularly given the fact that we're uncertain times with regards to Brexit, we're going to need all the support we possibly can get. That's Sinn Féin's position. We do support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Declan. Councillor Lewis.
Thank you, Laura. Yeah, look, the American election did sort of have a lot of interest from not only here, but from across the world. We all sort of bid who we think was going to win. I had I thought that President Trump would win, but it looked, but then it came forth that Biden had won, and I know that my colleague or Patrick Brown had said Biden would win from the start. So look, I'm just wanting to sort of say that he's the more astute politician when it comes to picking these things out. But no, look, I think that regardless of which party is in power, I think we need to be very mindful of the fact that there's an American consulate, an American presence here, and that they do an awful lot of outreach work, and they do an awful lot of youth work and charity work, and they do try to involve themselves locally. And I think that we would have had no problem supporting the motion if it hadn't took one sort of broad side, one sweep on it, that we need to be very careful as a council at taking a view on American politics. Now, in regards to his comments about Irish America and Orangeism and stuff, it is disappointing that that was the view at the time, and I think that us Northern Ireland Unionists will need to look very carefully at the direction of the this president and the direction of the consulate here. Now, we can't forget that it was a president that said if we voted for Brexit that we would be put to the back of any deal or any trade deal. So with all that, that's coming into play. So look, I just don't think that it's right that the council should take a view on this just one way or another.
Thank you, Councillor Lewis. Okay, Councillor Brown, back to you then to sum up.
No problem. Thank you, Chair. I'll be brief. I'll start off by thanking Councillor Stokes for seconding the motion. I was remiss not to say that at the start, but I appreciate that both of us actually got a motion in around the same time, and I was a few minutes early. So really, it's a joint motion, and thank Councillor Stokes for working with me to bring together a composite motion here tonight. And thank all my colleagues for their words of support. Although to the unionist grouping, I will say I do understand your concerns and where you're coming from. I suppose the thrust of the motion really was to include this motion within the wider political context and why President Biden might be visiting the UK or Ireland, whilst I totally realise there are differences of opinion on those controversial topics. And I thank Councillor Lewis for his very humble and gracious concession speech there. And I'll just conclude by saying I do hope that whenever Joe is over and we're grabbing a pint in Bellini's or Denver's or wherever, that my unionist colleagues will consider coming along as well.
Will you be banned, Bobby? Will you be banned?
Thank you, Councillor Brown, and thanks everyone for making those contributions. I do pick up though that we haven't got a general consensus of support for your motion, Patrick. So we're going to go for a vote. Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Four.
Councillor Brown.
Didn't
realise it was recorded.
It's not recorded. It's just a roll call vote. Sorry. It's just easier for me to count them up.
Roll call.
Yeah, apologies, folks. It's actually a roll call. It's very difficult to take the votes via the instant message. So it's not a recorded vote, but Sarah will simply call out your names, and if you let us know what way you want to vote, just makes it a wee bit easier. Thank you. Councillor Brown. Councillor Brown.
Oh, sorry, still on me. Four.
Yeah. Councillor Burgess.
Abstain.
Councillor Byrne.
Four.
Councillor Casey.
Four.
Councillor Clark.
Four.
Councillor Kern.
Four. Sorry about that.
You're okay. Councillor Devlin.
Four.
Councillor Dorn and Enright, our apologies. Councillor Finnegan.
Four.
Councillor Gallagher.
4.
Councillor Gibbons?
4.
Councillor Hanlon?
4.
Councillor Hannah?
Abstain.
Councillor Hart?
4.
Councillor Hyle?
4.
Councillor Larkin?
4.
Councillor Lewis? Councillor McGuinness?
4.
Councillor Malone?
4.
Councillor Mason?
4.
Councillor McAteer?
4.
Councillor McAvoy?
4.
Councillor McKee?
Abstain.
Councillor McKevitt?
4.
Councillor McMurray?
4.
Councillor McGree?
4.
Councillor Murphy?
4.
Councillor O'Hare?
4.
Councillor O'Murray?
4.
Councillor Owen? Sorry, Councillor Owen?
Councillor Owen, you're on mute.
Hello.
Sorry, are you... Councillor Owen, you 4 again for abstaining. Welcome back. Councillor Riley? Is not in attendance. Councillor Rowan?
4.
Councillor Savage?
4.
Councillor Sharvin?
4.
Councillor Stokes?
4.
Councillor Taylor?
Abstain.
Councillor Tinley?
4.
Councillor Traynor?
4.
Councillor Walker?
Abstain.
Is Councillor Owen back on? Oh, she's dropped off altogether. So we've 31-4 and 6 abstentions.
Okay, so that motion is carried. Okay, if we can move on then to the next one, which is a notice of motion from Councillor Clark. Councillor Clark, under Stamp Order 16.1 Part 6, this motion will be referred to our FPNR committee. Can I ask you to read out the motion and advise who will be seconding it so it can be deferred, please?
Okay, thanks very much, Chairperson. This council facilitates the formation of a forum to provide a regular means of communication between trade union representatives and council political parties. Council officers will produce an option paper to be considered by councillors. And Councillor Hanlon will second the motion.
Thank you, Willie. Okay, that's been deferred then. If we can move on to the next motion from Councillor Gallagher, which is in respect of the PSNI's annual Christmas drink driving campaign. This will be heard tonight by full council. So Hugh, if you want to begin by reading the motion out and then advising who will be seconding it, and then you can continue. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. This council supports the PSNI annual Christmas anti-drink driving campaign and recognises the seriousness of the drink driving and the impact this can have has had for many families across the district. This council calls on the Minister for Justice to bring forward changes to the drink driving limit to come into line with the Scotland and to review the penalties that are imposed. John Traynor.
Thank you, Hugh. Do you want to speak in the motion now as well, or do you want...
I'm happy enough just to speak in the motion. Not sure that's okay.
Yeah, no bother.
Chair, this motion is, I know it's our annual Christmas anti-drink driving campaign. I think it is something that we need to bring forward 365 days a year. Basically, we have between 20th of November 2019 and the 1st of January 2020, there was 418 drink and drug drivers that were arrested. I think we need to kind of put in mind that we go right across in regards to the whole year round, in regards to the traffic. There's a lot of families who have lost relatives through this and has had an impact throughout the whole community. And it is something that we need to have more in regards to the legislation changed over to the Scotland review of the penalties as well, Chair, in regards to that. And I know, as I said, the DFI Minister as well has put in place new specifications in regards to there as well. So, Chair, I leave that open at the moment and come back after.
Thank you, Hugh. Was it John, was it next to second that?
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, I'm just getting the mic back on again, Chair. Yes, Chair, I'm happy to second that. I suppose sitting on PCSP with many other members of the council here, we are obviously are made aware of the seriousness that drink driving can have on families. And in fact, it wasn't too long ago that we had Driving Awareness Week, and also this year we've seen the Poly Project rolled out, which has shown the harsh reality on many families in this district. So I don't want to take up too much more of other members' time. I think Councillor Gallagher's laid out very well the need for the motion that's in front of us, and I'm sure we'll address anything outstanding in his summing up. But I suppose as a council, we continually recognise through our PCSP the dangers of drink driving, and it's just maybe to put that in record as well, Chair.
Thank you, John. Okay, so in next there's Councillor Lewis.
Yeah, thank you. It was just to thank Councillor Gallagher and Traynor for actually bringing this motion. There's been a few people within my own area that has been deeply affected by this, and anything that we can do to raise the general awareness around it, and indeed lobby to make sure that those that continue to flout laws know that they will be caught. And I just wanted to also put on record the congratulations for the local policing teams on the work that they do across the district. I know there that was seen in recent days media that they have caught a number of people, and I think just that we also need to get out the message there as well, that it's not just solely about drink driving on the night that you're going home, but just to make the general awareness to people that the alcohol could still be in your system when you're travelling to work the next day or home from where you were. And although that they didn't intentionally mean to break the law or didn't intentionally know that they were a risk to themselves and drivers, it's about trying to educate people and to ensure that this practice and this dangerous practice is one that not only if caught that you'll be publicly shamed, but one that's caught that you'll do the appropriate time for it, be it a lengthy ban or a substantial fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Councillor Owen, you're in next there.
Hi, thanks very much. Hopefully you can hear me all this time. Apologies, my team's froze the last time. But listen, I would just like to thank as well Councillor Gallagher and Councillor Traynor for bringing this motion as well, sincerely, from the bottom of my heart. One of my longest family friends' father was actually killed by a drunk driver 25 plus years ago, so I've seen all too well the devastation that this recklessness leaves behind families that don't have loved ones at the kitchen table and things like that. So absolutely, totally, 100% support this. The message needs to be loud and clear. Also echo Alan's sentiments there as far as it also affecting you the following morning. Of course, people are maybe well-intended and try and do the right thing and think, right, well, you know, put the keys away, but the following morning they get out and they jump in the car and they don't actually realise. So it's about promoting that campaign. Great to see that certainly whenever my parents were youngsters, the numbers of drink driving, it was common practice. Back then, I remember, you know, even as a young girl, so glad to see that that the numbers are going back down, but they are starting to eke back up again. So a strong message is very important, and it just, you know, I personally, I don't even believe that there's a need for having one pint, and it's okay. You know, if you're going out, just don't drink. It's not, you know, it's not that difficult. Have a designated driver, don't drink, that's it. You know, so listen, thanks very much, you two, for bringing this one. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Councillor Hanlon?
Thanks, Chair. Yes, absolutely. Welcome this motion, and Sinn Féin will be supportive of it. I do think that it would be remiss of us to not include the fact that drugs and prescription drugs can impact your ability and cognizant behaviour when you're driving as well. So I would ask that that's maybe included in the motion. You know, I think a lot of people potentially are taking medication, don't even realise. You know, not even thinking about the fact that a lot of people take illegal drugs and drive, because perhaps that message just isn't quite as hard hitting as the drink driving message. It's quite right in what she says. You know, when I was younger, you know, there was so much work done in trying to like highlight the dangers of drink driving, because basically it was, you know, nobody really gave it a second thought. It was just jump in the car and drive. But obviously we've seen, you know, the outworkings of that and the devastation that it causes to families. And quite often it's potentially not the person themselves. It's the impact they have on the other vehicle and the devastation that they cause. So, I just think we need to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, the drugs are such a huge issue now, that we need to maybe include that into it if that would be accepted.
Thank you. And is that an amendment you're proposing? Yeah.
Yes, I will, yeah.
Okay, Councillor Gallagher, are you willing to accept that amendment from Councillor Hanlon about the prescription and legal illegal drugs as well?
Yeah, look, no, not a problem at all. I mean, going back, as I say, and everything started last year, I mean, it doesn't say drink or drug, it's drink and drug, so I have no problem at all bringing that in, definitely.
Perfect. I'll bring in a few members and come back to you to sum up at the end. Hugh, so Councillor McMurray, you're in next there.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Councillor Gallagher and Trainer, regarding that. Yeah, and I only just want to say I can only imagine the emotions felt by those who have lost loved ones as a result of drink driving. And again, I want to state that drink driving is wrong, and it just quite simply can't be condoned. I also note that the message still isn't getting through. You know, I had a brief reading of the most recent PSNI statistics bulletin and notes that fail and failure to provide, which they state as both being proxies for measurements for driving while under the influence, was up in the 18-19 Christmas period compared to the corresponding 17-18 Christmas period the year before, essentially. So yeah, any scheme that can sort of build on the awareness must be built upon. Second part of the motion, you know, intimates towards making changes to the current legislation regarding drink driving, and, you know, drink driving over the course of this has been legislated for a number of times. The first was the 1967 Road Safety Act, subsequently the Road Traffic Northern Ireland Order of 1995, and most recently the Road Traffic Amendment Act Northern Ireland 2016. And it's worth noting that this was the most recent piece of legislation was brought through via the Department of Infrastructure. Indeed, it was an SDLP MLA that noted it was massively concerning that the Department of Infrastructure actually has a provision in place to introduce new alcohol limits for drivers, yet has been unable to implement it. So, granted, 2019, maybe it wasn't his party colleague that had the minister for said department. So, if Councillor Gallagher was content, I propose that we amend the motion that reads, calls on the Minister for Infrastructure to bring forward the changes required. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Andy. I'll go back to Hugh again. Hugh, would you be willing to accept a further amendment there as well?
Well, I think, I mean, I totally hear, take on board what Councillor McMurray say in that aspect of it. I mean, I know the local DFI, or DFI Minister Nicola Mallon, has been progressing the ongoing issues within regards to the drink driving, and that, and only recently has put down an amendment to change the law as such. I think, I would be happy enough, and I know as ministers in Stormont obviously need to be working together, I'd be happy enough if it was put down as both the Minister for DFI and Minister for Justice to work together. I have no problem at all on that, if Councillor McMurray is happy enough for to go through that as well.
Thank you, Hugh. And again, I'll come back to you again to sum up. I keep on coming back to you 10 times. Councillor Savage, you're in next there.
Yes, Chair. I'd like to congratulate Councillor Gallagher on bringing this motion through tonight. The element that I would like to home in on is the great work that has been done as a member of the PCSP. I can see it firsthand, the work that's been done to try and drive these figures down and run into Christmas. Chair, the element that I would like to home in on would be obviously the need, given the fact that we are a border community here, that we extend the cooperation between an Garda Síochána and the PSNI. Obviously, we'd like to get to the stage where we have an all-island drink drive rate, but I think it's very important that the message is out there locally, that those who are out revelling in the Republic, if they are over the coming weeks, that drinking and driving is not an option for them as well. We've seen too many incidents in the past where we have had lives lost in the border communities with people coming back with drink taken, and young lives are particularly lost in our district, and particularly in Uri and South Armagh. So, Chair, I think it's a very important motion that's come forward tonight. I think we all have to be very cognizant of it this time, but I'd also like to encourage greater cooperation between An Garda Síochána and the PSNI on this matter. I know there has been ongoing cooperation that's growing, but I think more of it will ensure that we have safer roads in the border communities of South Down and South Armagh. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, Hugh, it's back to you. There does seem to be unanimous support there for your motion, if you want to sum up before we just put that to a vote.
Sorry. Look, thank you very much for all the colleagues in council for their support. In regards to that, with Councillor Hans proposed, I'm quite happy, and again with Councillor McMurray, if we write to both ministers. I don't want to fool along this anymore. I think it's important that we do have, as Councillor Salvi says, that cross-border aspect, because we are a small island and we're going to have issues on either side. It's ongoing, that aspect of it. I think it is something that the Councillor has very much said us, that it's education, it's re-education, it's letting people know that it's every day, and that is that aspect of it, the kind of the, oh, I was drinking last night and didn't realise, I was drunk this morning, that mindset as well. I think we need to be very careful. And it is something, again, that was mentioned in regards to the drugs. It's the unfortunate in society today now is that drugs is very prevalent, and it is something that needs to be continuously addressed. So we have those both curses in regards to that can cause the issues on the roads. I just want to leave kind of the last part of it all. And I was looking through, different things about different questions that people have. And there's three questions kind of stuck out for me, and the questions that people ask when they have been caught or arrested for drink driving. And it kind of says it all, really, is the question, and I'm not going to answer, just put them out. Basically, is that what happens when I've been charged? Should I see a solicitor before going to court? And what will happen in court? I think if we take away even those three questions now and keep them in our head, I think that's something that will stick to us all. But again, as I say, Chair, I'm not going to keep hacking on. So I think we, from what we've said tonight, it is very clear in regards to the support that we have, and we need to continue to go build on this. But thank you.
Great, Hugh. Thank you very much. I think from everybody that spoke so far, everybody seems to be in broad agreement of that. So I think that if everybody's in agreement, and nobody said otherwise, we can move on and say the motion is passed. Thank you, Councillor Gallagher.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Can I just ask at what way it's going to be read? In regards to, I know Councillor McMurray, you were wanting this over with the joint the ministers as well, and also with Councillor Hanlon. Will that be changed then?
Yeah, we can add that in.
Okay,
that's brilliant.
Thank you very much.
No bother. Thank you. Okay, so next motion then is from Councillor McKevitt. Karen, in line with Standing Order 16.1 Part 6, this motion, once you've read it out and you advise me who will be seconding it, I think it might be me, it'll be referred to Council's Equality and Good Relations Committee. So if you want to go on ahead there, Karen, and read out the motion.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair, and you're correct in writing saying that it's yourself that will be seconding it. This Council recognises the impact of misogyny and the transmisogyny of those affected by it, as well as the role these attitudes play in a variety of crimes, including harassment, assault, sexual assault and hate crimes, and in the career choices and personal lives of women, girls and non-binary people. The Council supports the inclusion of misogyny as a standalone offence and as a category of hate crime, recognising crime targeted at women, including trans women, and as hate crimes based on misogyny. I'm going to write a letter to that effect to Judge Desmond Marion as part of his ongoing review of hate crime legislation in Northern Ireland by placing posters in all kinds of properties to raise awareness of the project. Chairperson, could I ask you to second that as well? Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Yep, for the record, I'm more than happy to second that. Okay, so that will be going to the Equality and Good Relations Committee. If we could move on then to the next notice of motion, which is one from Councillor Karen, I think we need to read yours out. The last line, I think, is missing. Okay, yep. Can you see the last three lines, Karen, there? The council supports also the Raise Your Voice project. You just started that line again, and that was left out there.
As part of the ongoing review of hate crime legislation in Northern Ireland by placing posters on all council properties to raise awareness of the project.
You seem to have missed the line out.
Have I?
Yeah, the agenda there after legislation in Northern Ireland.
The council supports also to Raise Your Voice project, which tackles sexual harassment and sexual violence across Northern Ireland by placing posters in all kinds of properties to raise awareness of the project. Apologies for that, Chair.
No, that's perfect. Just for the record, Karen, that will be going to the Equality and Good Relations. For the record, I'm content to second that. Thank you for that.
Yes,
okay, so we move on to the next notice of motion from Councillor Murphy. So again, in line with Stanton Order 16.1, Part 6, this motion be referred to the ERT committee. So once you've read the motion out and confirmed that it will be seconded by Councillor Hart, it will be referred to the committee. Go on ahead there, Declan, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So this council welcomes the recent announcement by Communities Minister Carnley Hullen regarding our plans to fundamentally address the significant challenge facing our housing system. We call on the planning service to urgently place more emphasis on planning as an activity that is both integrated with other local government agencies and is focused on delivery. And that is seconded by Councillor Valerie Hart. Thank you, Chair.
Great, Declan. Thank you. That will be going to the ERT committee. Thank you. Okay, so our next notice of motion is actually from Councillor Enright. And as we know, we've got an apology from Cadogan this evening. So it's the standard practice to defer to January's council meeting unless someone here wants to move the motion on his behalf.
I'm happy enough to do it as the seconder of the motion. Councillor Enright would still be able to come and present it at the relevant committee. Laura, is that the case?
Yep, absolutely. You go on ahead. If you can read it out, Patrick, I can move things on. Thank you.
This council calls upon Finance Minister Conor Murphy to immediately implement the NZEB code, Nearly Zero Energy Building Code, that the EU directive requires the NI Department of Finance to implement by the end of this year. This directive is adopted into UK law. Council alerts the Minister to the following facts. One, NI Building Code is 20 years behind GB. Every private sector house built between now and 2030 will have to be retrofitted to meet the UK's energy efficiency targets at 2030. Two, every new house built in Republic of Ireland is now more than £1,000 per annum cheaper to run than an equivalent in Northern Ireland because of out-of-date building standards. All new homes in Republic of Ireland must have a typical building energy rating of A2 or better. Three, Republic of Ireland in November 2019 signed into law the Nearly Zero Energy Buildings Regulation under Part L of the Building Code for all domestic homes, not just public buildings as in GB. New public buildings in Republic of Ireland have already been NZEB since 31st December 2018. Four, and Council write to other 10 councils in Northern Ireland and ask them to pass this motion as well. If I knew I was reading it out, I would have told Cadogan to put less abbreviations in it.
Thank you, Patrick. I'm just thinking, I know you were down to second the motion. Do we have somebody else to second this motion to defer to a committee? I need a formal seconder. Unfortunately, if we have no seconder for the motion, it will have to be Councillor McAteer. Oh, Councillor McAteer is in first. Okay, thank you, Declan. That will be deferred then to the ERT committee. Thank you for doing that, Patrick. Okay, if we move on then to the next motion, which is from Councillor O'Mara. Barrett, in line with Stanton Order 16.1, Part 6, this motion be referred to the Council's Equality and Good Relations Committee. Can I ask you to read out your motion and advise who will be second in the motion so it can be deferred in line with procedure? Thank you.
All right, Chair. Councillor Cathy Mason will be seconding this motion. And it reads as follows. This council notes the centenary anniversary of the Westminster Parliament's Government of Ireland Act. We note that the Good Friday Agreement caused this act to be revoked. We welcome this. We note the deep and wide divisions this has sustained and entrenched both within Irish society and in the relationships between the islands of Ireland and Britain, not least of the consequences this has been the multi-layered generational conflict our society has endured. We welcome and support the agreed framework provided by the peace process to address and deal with all of this by peaceful and democratic methods. We recognise that the outworking of this, the full implementation of the Good Friday Agreement in all its aspects, remains a work in progress. This includes its core requirements for equality of treatment party of esteem and mutual respect, and the provision for a referendum to give full effect to the exercise by the people of Ireland to the right of self-determination, our future destiny, and the centrality to this of both the British and Irish governments. In the first instance, the respect of rights throughout the island, and in the second, the particular responsibility of the British government to set a date for the referendum. This council further recognises that a stark choice is opening up between the narrow, inward-looking vision of Brexit Britain and the open, inclusive vision of a new Ireland. Therefore, we call upon this council to encourage space for debate, to present experiences and perspectives, big ideas, and a public discourse on our constitutional future, which threatens no one. And this council call on both governments to expedite the delivery of their respective responsibilities contained within the Good Friday Agreement. Or Margaret.
Thank you, Councillor Moore. Let me defer then to the Equality and Good Relations Committee. Thank you. If we can move on then to our last motion of this evening, which is from Councillor Malone. Councillor Malone, this item was discussed at November's meeting of SPNR, and the minute was ratified tonight by full council. The corporate position of this council is that we're proceeding with a 15-acre city park on the Albert Basin site. Like any major project in this council, a project board is formed and a budget is then set. The first meeting of this board is scheduled for January next month, January 21. As such, I have ruled under Standing Order 16.1 Part 2 that this motion will not be heard tonight, as a 15-acre city park on the Albert Basin is the already agreed position of this council and is progressing through the standard council channels, and that's my ruling. So that takes us to the end of tonight's council meeting, and thank you everybody for the cooperation tonight, and have a good night. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. Good night, everybody. And